It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Okay, I'm not too crazy about Dave Murray's forecast there. I'm just going to be
honest with you. What does he say?
Well, I'm supposed to go to the city game tonight with some friends.
Did you win that drawing?
Oh. No, from the station?
Yeah.
No, I had tickets already. There was an email that went out saying that they had tickets tonight. Yeah. No, but I'm going with my friend Rich Christmer and some of his soccer or football friends. He's got like we have tickets like almost like on the field. They're like in the first row down there. So
I forget you're
cool.
A soccer guy. Now.
Really not, but yeah. I do have fun. I want
to
support.
Time for me to adjust.
I did get into. Yeah. You know, I got into the World Cup, like legit into the World
yes.
Cup, right? So I asked Daniel, who was out there helping produce Annie's show. I said, "Is Sporting KC any good?" And his response was, "They're probably the only team worse than us, except that they always create issues for us. So we'll have to see." But the forecast, so it's going to be scattered showers this evening. Not too crazy about that. But I'm supposed to play pickleball tomorrow morning. It looks like there's rain in the forecast for tomorrow as well. Mm. Although I think he said, let's see here, day. Partly cloudy early with thunderstorms becoming likely during the afternoon. All right, we might be in pretty good shape. We'll have to see. I know you all were concerned about my pickleball, my open play at Forest Park tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's why I had to cover that.
Didn't you play today?
No, I got my ass kicked in racquetball today at the MAC.
It's hard to keep up, Fred.
It is hard to keep up. You know what, though? I'm literally doing something almost every day and keeping active.
This is good.
It is good.
It's very good.
It's like the opposite of when I was sick last summer. Big entertainment news I want to share this afternoon. This is huge. I don't think you guys have heard about this either. Let me just read it from Deadline, at Deadline, you know, on the X formerly Twitter. This is how they put it. Exclusive! We have the first cast departure following season 51 of Saturday Night Live, and you ready for this? It's a big one. Yeah. Are you ready for this?
I don't think I know any of the cast.
Yeah, nobody does. That's my point.
Oh.
Chloe Fineman, one of NBC sketch comedy's standout performers over the past few years, is leaving after 7 seasons. And they actually billed this on Deadline as it's a big one. It's a big one, and nobody knows her name because the show sucks. I mean, honestly, who knows that? Nobody knows her. And she's on the show for 7 years. Let me just say this. If you're on a show for 7 years and no one knows who the hell you are, it's probably better that you move on anyway.
Wow.
Because I don't think that's helping your career.
No.
Okay. On to the porta potty incident in Kansas City. This is important. We have a follow-up. Fred, did you know that we had a follow-up?
No, I didn't.
We have a follow-up. First of all, the facts of this are a little sketchy at this point, but we now know it happened in Kansas City, okay? Here's the audio of the actual incident. A dude fell into the hole of the porta potty, right?
I mean,
this happened. Listen, all right, here we go.
Get out. Get me, man. Come on, man.
Dude, I'm going to move my motorcycle.
I can't.
Lean forward like you did before.
Lean forward, they're saying.
Just lean up like you were before. Now, other way.
Push it the other way.
Other way.
There you go.
Okay, so.
Lean forward. I'm listening. Lean forward. Put your hands.
You can see his arm out of the toilet bowl, and they're yelling at him.
Put your hands through the thing like when you were when you first showed up.
Hey, these screws are down.
No, they aren't.
Okay, so we didn't know much more than that thing went viral. And now we know a few more things because the company that is responsible for those porta potties, because yesterday, I mean, I said when I tweeted this out, I said, man, I hope this is real because, you know, you always have to kind of be careful. And Sue, when I showed you that, you're like, how in the hell did it happen?
Yes.
Right? Well, here might be the best explanation. This is Patriot Portable Restrooms and a spokesperson. This is what he said. This is his explanation because he knows this went viral.
Hey, everybody. Here to set the story straight for what happened on July 14th, 2026. My name is Chip Counterman. I'm a partner with Patriot Portable Restrooms. here in Kansas City. But one of our guys went to pick up an event from the World Cup and knocked on all the doors, made sure nobody was in the restrooms. He did find one of them locked, knocked on the door, and let the gentleman know he had 10 minutes to get out. Picked up everything else, went back to that toilet, and knocked again. The man inside said he was not going to get out. Luckily, a police officer on a motorcycle went by. Our driver waved him down. Cop walked up to the door and asked the man to exit the toilet. The man replied that he could not reach the door and couldn't get out.
So he's, at this point, he's already fallen in, right? And the door is locked, so the cop's trying to yell at him through the door. He's like, I can't get out, right? So I don't even know, what would you even feel like? If you're the cop, you probably don't think that he fell in the porta potty, right?
There's no way.
They looked inside and didn't see anybody. The lid was closed. No one was in the restroom. It kind of startled them.
Oh, I didn't know the lid was closed. That's an interesting
nugget.
Now,
wait a minute.
Okay.
Sudden, a head popped out of the toilet, and he said, I'm in here. Fire department came after that and tried to instruct the man to exit the toilet.
There's
and,
the audio.
The man would not do it. They asked him why he went in. And he told them he was retrieving a Mountain Dew bottle that he dropped in from the night before. So that put him in, inside of the tank for about 8 hours.
Oh my God!
That was true. After it was cut open, the man was able to exit the toilet. Fire department did hook up water to their truck and gave him a free shower. Long story short, horrible situation. Thank you to the Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department and Police Department for all the help. Watch out falling into toilets.
Oh my God. Okay, there's a big...
Okay.
8 hours?
Okay.
How many times would you vomit?
Now, this isn't
right?
Your father's gold watch.
No. It's a bottle of Mountain
it's
Dew.
It's a bottle of Mountain Dew that you go in for?
He wanted to do the dew, I think, is what he wanted to do.
I hope it was closed. It wasn't open already.
Well,
good point, Fred.
Yeah. And I mean, wouldn't you be knocking on this thing like all night or shaking it?
Couple things there.
Like, none of this makes sense.
He didn't go in after it when he dropped it. He had to come back to go after it because he dropped it earlier. That's what I think I heard
them
say.
That's what it sounded like.
That is unreal. That's something else right there. All right.
I wonder
if
there was something else in the bottle.
Oh, well, maybe.
I mean,
otherwise,
you don't
he's
know,
insane.
Right?
I mean, even if there isn't, the whole thing is insane.
No, it doesn't even make any sense, even after hearing the explanation.
The
right?
lid got closed. Now, how did that happen? From him rattling around down there looking for the Mountain Dew, help me out.
I think there's still answers that we're not going to know of in this situation. All right, I got another weird situation for you. This is kind of scary. It really is. So they had this security breach at the Today Show today. Okay. Have you heard about this, Fred?
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I'm being serious about this. So somebody kind of got backstage. They were looking for Al Roker, but they found Craig Melvin. So check this out. This is TMZ.
We just broke this story. There was a major security breach at the Today Show today when a man showed up, was looking for Al Roker, went backstage, which is a huge security breach, and couldn't find Al, but saw Craig Melvin, the anchor of the Today Show, and lunged at him and used the N-word. And there are some sources at the Today Show who are saying this guy made it all the way to the dressing rooms. There's a dispute about that, whether it was in the hallway or the dressing rooms. Either way, he was backstage. Nobody was hurt. The man was arrested. NYPD has him in custody. The way it was put to us by people at the Today Show, they are saying, and this is a quote, heads are going to roll because this security breach put the talent on the show at risk.
That's kind of frightening when you think about
Whoa.
It. Right? I went to the Today Show, I don't know, it was like 8 years ago because I used to work with Savannah Guthrie many years ago in Columbia, Missouri, and I took my son to New York City, and we were able to hook up with Savannah and get a tour and everything, but they gave us badges, and there was always an escort and stuff like that. So that's a scary situation. And then, have you heard about the controversy in Pensacola, Florida, if it is one, on the Blue Angels?
Yeah.
Okay, so, Sue, do you know this one?
No.
So down in Pensacola, this is where the Blue Angels come from. Like, I was on the Blue Angels. I flew with this guy, and they had flown that morning up from Pensacola the whole way, right? So they're doing some maneuvers, and there's a bunch of people. Apparently, this is something that they always look forward to. It's not the first time it's happened, but there's a flyover that gets a little closer than people are used to. That thing comes zooming in on the beach, and what you basically saw, like, if you watch this video, people were laughing. They looked like they were excited. Now, the wind pressure, whatever you would call it, from the Blue Angel being so close to the beach, blew some chairs over and stuff like that. But people didn't look like they were afraid. They looked like they were like, wow.
When they fly close and blow the tents up.
That was a first.
Incredible.
I haven't seen that one. That was good.
They're showing out.
So they're all excited. So David Muir, one of the most biased people out there in all the legacy media at ABC, they do this serious story about how this, you know, was something that needs to be talked about. And they say a low Blue Angels flyover this morning during breakfast with the Blues caused quite a stir. Well, what you come to find out is this is something that happens annually every year. They love it. They go to the beach because they love these flyovers. Now, in fairness, this was a little bit closer than usually it happens. And the Blue Angels came out with a statement. Whoever, I don't know if it was the White House or the Blue Angels, said, look, it's the Navy. The Navy is going over what happened. They thoroughly review every single flight. And if one has an episode outside of the parameters, it gets, you know, extra scrutiny. But look, the people in Pensacola are like, we get this. We do this all the time. We're having fun with it. That was really, really cool. And let's face it, there's nothing like the Blue Angels. We had them here, you know, a little more than a month ago in St. Louis as well. So I just thought, you know, you look, ABC tries to be, you know, really serious about cracking down on Trump and the Navy, and look what happened here. And everyone down there is just having the time of their lives. So there's a little media divide for you.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're still buzzing in the city about the porta potty story because we're still amazed and have a lot of questions based on the story. We'll certainly give you any updates that may come our way, but we got to do this here this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Happy National AI Day. We already have one, and perhaps it instituted it itself. Put it in my computer this morning.
Oh, that's actually a good point.
It's interesting. It's also National Corn Fritters Day. Have you ever had one, Mark, a corn fritter?
I think I have, but you're going to have to be more specific.
It's like corn fried, pan fried. It's in a little bit of, almost like a pancake, but made out of chunks of corn.
I think I've had that before.
Fred?
I think I have, but it might have been like at a state fair.
Oh, yeah, that sounds very state fair-y. I have not had one, but I'm not above it. It's also National Personal Chef Day. None of us know anything about that. And National Cherry Day. When speaking of fake pies, because as we know, I'm a pie snob, if it's cherry pie for the fake filling, I can eat that.
You can?
Yeah. Okay. I don't want anything else. But the cherry one, like you used to get at McDonald's, the ones those were excellent.
Those were good.
Yeah. Man, that stuff can hold heat. The cherry, for some reason, could get really hot.
You know, and they just brought back the apple one. But
yes, why not the cherry?
That's a good question, Sue.
Oh, I'd rather have the cherry.
I think I would, too, which is weird.
It is weird, but it's true. Wait, would you eat the apple or the cherry? What was your choice, Fred, if it came to
apple.
It? Interesting.
I liked both, but I mean, now that you mentioned the cherry, I
Cherry's
can kind of
better.
Nostalgically harken back to that.
Yes. 91 years ago today, it was 1935. And the very first parking meters were installed. 1935. What city in the Midwest was that, Fred Bademar? Oh, nope.
Sorry, I went too quick.
Kansas City.
Nope.
Memphis.
Oklahoma City.
I was close.
I would never have
Memphis.
Guessed that.
No, me neither.
Like, they're not a million years.
Are you parking your horse, too, and paying for that?
I don't know. The whole thing is weird. And then 54 years ago today, In 1972, we could play a little music in this. Smokey Robinson gave his last concert with the Miracles. He was burned out from touring. He was VP of Motown. He wanted to focus on his family.
I think he ended up doing pretty well for himself. What a great song. I didn't realize that he hadn't done stuff with the Miracles since that.
I hadn't either. Here's the thing. This song came out in 1967 on an album. It was okay. But somehow in 1970, they re-released it as a single, first in England and then here, and it just went nuts because he was going to try to retire, or at least from being on the road then, but this hit kept him around for another 2 years because the Miracles are like, you can't go anywhere.
Must have been just
We've got this huge thing. It was a timing thing. Yeah, it's very interesting. I love him. One of my favorite stories on this show, Mark Reardon, who did you know in California?
Yeah, my friend Gary Poole, who lives in Arizona right now, but he was rear-ended by Smokey Robinson.
I love this so much.
It was a great story. Gary came on and shared that story. And Smokey was awesome and really, really nice. So, yeah, that's pretty funny, actually.
Oh, my gosh. I will never forget that. That was a great story. And then on this day in history, 27 years ago, it was 1999, and John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife Carolyn, and her sister Lauren Bessette died when John's single-engine plane crashed into the ocean near Martha's Vineyard. It's been 27 years. And 2 years later, the Kennedy family agreed to pay the Bessettes,
I think.
$15 million for the loss of their daughters.
Wow.
They just felt like they... I don't know if it was a lawsuit or how that happened, but yep, that's what they did. Okay. Now, there's a trailer for the new movie about Sylvester Stallone's fight to play the starring role of his own script, Rocky.
This is looking really interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, now, it dropped yesterday, but listen to the actor portraying him, Anthony Ippolito, has Sly's mannerisms and voice down. And here's part of the trailer. This is unbelievable.
So at first, let me just clarify. Yeah. I thought this was going to be like a documentary, but it's not, right? It's a feature film. All right, here we go.
Are you delusional? You don't got the looks to be a movie star. You talk like you got rocks in your mouth.
The only way for me to get to show people is I'm going to have to write a script for myself.
Write a script and give yourself the best part.
You wrote this in 3.5 days. This is freaking good. Have someone like Chuck Bronson, or we could do Eastwood.
Guys, I play rock.
So the writer wants to be in it as the lead.
No, absolutely not.
Throw some money at him. $25,000.
No, I'm not giving this up. Not for $1 million.
I mean, it really, honestly, has to be one of the most incredible Hollywood stories ever.
Yes!
It really is. I mean, for that to happen and for it to go on and win the Oscar and be remembered all these years later, I think that that is going to be fascinating. Now, when is that coming out? Because I didn't hear about it until today.
Yeah, they haven't said yet, or I haven't found it.
And what's it called?
It might be November. I'm not even sure that they say in here what it is. But that actor has done, will you Google that?
I'm going to look it up.
Has done such a great job with the voice that it really freaked me out.
I had no idea. Oh, this is Peter Farrelly, too, of the Farrelly Brothers.
Yes.
And, you know, he's done a couple of films that are serious. So the first trailer for, it's called I Play Rocky.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, honestly, I'd never heard of this, but this looks fascinating. Matt Dillon's in it, Anna Sophia Robb. Stephen James, Eric Palladino, as you mentioned, in theaters November 6th. So that's a good release date as well.
Wow. It's just interesting. And let's see. Remember when everybody used to update their status on social media? It's kind of taken a nosedive. And a new survey from a privacy company found that 55% of Americans say maintaining their social media presence now feels like work instead of fun. It was bound to happen, to come back a little bit. But more than half say they're posting less than they did 5 years ago, and many are being much more selective about what they share. Now, the biggest reasons people are pulling back are political arguments.
Facebook is just awful.
Yeah, it is.
It's just toxic.
Endless doom scrolling and concerns about privacy. The survey also found younger adults are feeling pressure the most, with Gen Z most likely to say social media has become exhausting.
So have you ever gone back and looked, like in the early days of Facebook, something will come up on Facebook history, some of the stupid stuff that we would, you know, post on there, like having lunch today at Billy G's or something ridiculous. People. And that was before we even started taking pictures of all our food.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but there were some things that I see my history sometimes, and I did a lot of this when I was going to Hollywood. So I did a lot of Facebook stuff with the actors and stuff.
Well, yeah.
But even on some of that, I look at some of my comments, I'm like, did I say that?
I know.
It was like only 20 years ago. So it's interesting.
It is interesting. There are a pair of 15-year-olds in California, and they unfortunately learned the hard way that a robo-taxi, guess what? People are always watching, even though it's empty, because, you know.
So what did they do?
There are cameras in there, people. Police in San Mateo say two teens were riding in a Waymo self-driving vehicle while drinking and firing water beads from a toy gun at people outside the car. You see it? Well,
and they
the
just
Waymo,
thought that no one would be able to track them down.
Because they're 15.
Okay.
Waymo's onboard cameras detected the behavior, and the vehicle pulled into a shopping center parking lot and notified the company's support team. So police showed up on the scene.
I love that.
It's great.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yes. So the officers surrounded the vehicle and detained both teens. Waymo says its vehicles have interior cameras, people, and urgent situations. And in them, in urgent situations, employees can access during, you know, live. They can see what's going on, which means it might drive you straight to the cops. So if they see something they don't like, they'll just neat, take you right into the police station.
Brilliant sound effects there,
it
by
is.
The way. That's exactly what it sounds like, too.
I mean, come on. There's nobody better. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. There's a town in Alaska called Whittier with a population of about 270 people, all of whom live in one 14-story building that used to be an army barracks. And that's it. I think I've seen a story on this. And they all know each other, and they talk about what you have to wear just to go outside because it's so cold, it's ridiculous. So they all stay there in one building.
There you go, your random facts, Sue's News on this Thursday. We're coming back with comedian George Wallace.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Well, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Comedian George Wallace, he's a comedy legend. He is in town this weekend for four shows on Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Helium. Tonight, too, actually. George Wallace, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
I feel good all over. I just tell you, as somebody said something stupid, you know what they said?
What?
It's raining outside.
Yeah, that is kind
of
stupid, isn't it?
Outside. Where else would it be raining? That's why you can. I'm still wearing my poncho. Is this a poncho?
It is a poncho.
I have a friend named Alex, and then we grab the
Alex Rich, our friend,
the garbage bags.
Yeah, is that what it is?
I made a poncho, and you know, they charge $15 for these at the stadium.
Yeah, that does not shock me. Does not shock me at all. But you were over at Chris's having a little lunch.
We had some lunch over there. Guess what I had, dude?
What did you have?
I had some grits with sausage in it and egg. It was my breakfast. It was
it good?
Really good, and they had jalapenos in there.
Nice. That
wonderful.
Does sound good.
And that's the best meal I ever had in St. Louis.
You're a barbecue guy, though, aren't you?
I love
barbecue. We got good barbecue here.
Ago, like
right?
Yeah. I go to Pappy's. I haven't been to Pappy's yet, but and I'm going to go
Sugar
to
Fire. You got
to
check Sugar Fire out. That's a good one. Pappy's legendary Sugar Fire Smokehouse.
Yeah,
Alex would vouch
me a
for that.
Too. You know, sometimes you're just saying you're old, but people call. I have all kinds of names now. In New York City, somebody called me Sarge the other day, and then they called me, what's the other one? Boss.
Oh, yeah?
And then, then somebody called me OG. That's right.
Well,
OG.
You are the OG, right? Come
and
on.
Then some kids call me the other day, Unc. I told them, I don't know about your Unc, but there's a good chance I might be your real daddy. So,
so there is that chance. I don't know my biological father, so there's a possibility there. Should we do a little DNA test?
You know, that's another thing I want to talk about. I think everybody in America should have a DNA test. Because you don't know this, Alex. It's a strong possibility that at least 40% of people have the wrong daddy. in America.
40%, that's a high number. Yeah, Alex is in the studio with us, but we're keeping him quiet. He was on the show yesterday, so I don't like to involve him too much, George, because
he doesn't have anything to say anyway. You know when they say, let me get my 2 cents worth in?
No.
It's about 2 cents worth in.
So I got to tell you, just about a month and a half ago, I've been rewatching Seinfeld, and I actually started in the third season just randomly. I'm on the eighth season, and I'm on like episode 4, but I knew you were coming in, so I had to watch episode, I think it was episode 7 that you're in. You're at the end of that Seinfeld episode. Witchy Woman is a part of the storyline in Desperado, right?
Desperado. What did they have to do together? Desperado and Witchy Woman.
Well, because Elaine's boyfriend was like concentrating. He was hypnotized by Desperado.
Yeah.
And then you were a surgeon and you got hypnotized by a Witchy Woman.
That's what it was.
Yes.
I looked up. Let me tell you where the scene came from. So I'm Seinfeld's best friend, right?
I know that. That's crazy too.
So what happened was when I went to his house, so as an honor, when his first son was born, and we had to we had to circumcise the baby.
Right, right.
And the father,
glad you had to do that, not
father
me.
Father and the grandfather had to do it, right?
Right.
But the grandfather was there, so they made me do it. I did.
Are you kidding?
Me and Jerry.
Wow.
And when the rabbi, they got the baby drunk. He's Jewish, you know. Okay.
Yeah, no, I get it.
They gave the baby some wine. They put it on a cloth. That thing, what do you call that thing?
Yeah.
And the baby got with some Morgan David Jr. wine or something like that. And the baby, and then the rabbi took his little piece of tool.
Right,
off,
right.
And he went zip.
Yeah.
And cut that thing off. And that's why I say that's the look Jerry wanted. I said, because every day I go to his house, to this day, this boy is 21 years old, to this day, every time I walk in the house, he looks at me like, I know you from somewhere.
you were a surgeon, right?
I know you from, yeah.
So how did you get to know Jerry? Like, you were his best man in his wedding, right?
This is true. We're still best friends to this day. I'm the real George. I'm his roommate for 13 years. We started together.
Were you really his roommate for 13 years? That's crazy.
Huh?
13 years.
We were roommates for 13 years, and we're still best friends to this day. I bet you if I look at my phone, I have had 3 calls already.
Can we just call him right now? Can we just?
No, because he's an introvert, and he doesn't like
he's coming like here to St. Louis in a couple of months.
Okay.
So I'm going to go to that show for sure.
Damn it, I got to get somebody else in for free.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to. Cool. Me and Alex will go together.
Is he at Pollard Hall? Is that Pollard Hall I used to work?
Powell Hall is a beautiful place. He's at the Fox, I think, the Fox Theater is great.
Don't you think I've been there?
Of course you have. You're George Wallace.
This is back 20 years ago when I was doing the Tonight Show and things like that. And I saw that. I cried. That's the first place I ever cried. I said, where the hell are all these people going? And the man said, the promoter said, come to see you, stupid. And I had no idea, you know. And then I went out front and the name was on the marquee.
It's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful place.
I think there was 5 at one time, but I know we got one in Atlanta. We got one here.
Detroit, there was one.
Sure.
Right.
So that's 3 for sure. I thought there used to be one in Kansas City, but I'm not. But they're most beautiful. The ones that are left over, the most beautiful theaters in America.
Absolutely.
And
so
the one in Atlanta, let me give you some history.
No, good. Please
do. I'm born and raised in Atlanta. So back in the day, when I was born, it was segregated. Black people had to climb up outside 5 flights of stairs to get to the top. And the black people had to watch the shows, the movies, whatever, over the top balcony.
Mm-hmm, right.
So they made us do that. It was segregation. And the white people were down on the front.
Yeah.
But what we did, black people, they can come down there. We can go down there and they can come up there. We would pee in the popcorn cup. Is that enough?
Well, I think that...
Is that enough?
Yeah, probably. I think it sums it up right there, right? It does.
Mark, but that's... I'm serious.
Well, I know.
Yeah, because... You know,
is that why when you went... Is that why you got emotional? Did you get emotional?
When?
When you went to the Fox here for the first time.
Like I want to throw a cup down on somebody. No.
No, I thought
I
you said you...
got emotional because I never see my name on a marquee.
Oh, that.
A big
okay.
Theater like that.
Yeah, that's
since
cool.
You brought it up.
So you, how in the world do you get interested in comedy when you're 6 years old? Like, I put headphones on when I was like 11 or 12. I was listening to the radio. I always wanted to be a disc jockey, and that's what I was before talk radio. But how do you kind of get a feeling for being a funny guy at 6 years old?
Do you remember when your parents were playing, they called them party records back in the day?
Yeah.
And they would tell the kids, you go in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go in the room, this is not for you. And we knew something was going on because they were laughing and sometimes we'd be against the wall. But our parents were not that bright. They should have known that as soon as they walked out of that door going to church.
You're listening to it too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
duh.
Put it on too.
Right.
Duh. And so, and Red Fox, who's from St. Louis?
Red Fox is from here.
He's from here, and I had the pleasure of writing for the Red Fox show.
Right, I knew that.
George Wallace. It wasn't Sanford and Son, but guess what? I'm connected with the Sanford and Son people right now. Norman Lear, just before he died, I put a show together called Clean Slate. That was with Norman Lear. I'm the last show he produced.
That's pretty awesome.
And right now, I'm going to do something new because I had told him I wanted to. Matter of fact, the last show I did called Clean Slate, it was based off Sanford and Son. It was a what if I had a son that went to New York to do his thing and be who he wanted to be and came back as my daughter. And Laverne Cox played that part.
Nice.
So if you watch Clean Slate, and it didn't go because of the word transgender, and it just climate in America right now, from the White House administration to Prime Video being owned by Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
So that word's not good. But it wasn't all about the reason I liked doing the show. It was educating me, George Wallace, as myself. Also educating Harry Slate as a character on how people live in America. And it's just like, are you happy doing what you do? Let people do what they want to do as long as you stay happy.
Yeah.
And then once you get into the show, you'll see that, of course, me being an old black man set in my ways back in those days, I didn't understand it either. But me getting to her style and she getting into my style because I'm black, old black man set in my ways and nothing's going to change. And but we had to learn how to adapt to each other and learn to love each other. And everything was going kind of crazy. And then she mentioned that I said, well, you got to stay for dinner. She says, I don't know, Pops, but I got to let you know that I'm a vegetarian. That's when all hell broke loose.
That was the dividing line, right there.
Because we eat meat up and oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Vegetarian,
yeah.
You got to go now. But it turned out to be the show and everybody loved it. It turned out to be about love and laughter more than how different we are. And how great, how much that we're the same.
Yeah.
Clean Slate playing right now on Prime Video. Go to it. But in the meantime, you can see George Wallace at Helium.
Yeah,
Comedy Club
let's talk about that. Because
tomorrow night.
You got a bunch of shows, right?
Only got four shows. And, you know, people know me from Las Vegas, Nevada. The new Mr. Vegas. You know,
I was going to ask you about that. That's my second home, George. I got to go see out there, too. I go out there a lot.
I
know.
I haven't been out there in a while because I went there for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. I wound up staying there. I had a residency for 15 years in Las Vegas.
And, I did know that.
And I own the show. I'm the only black man ever owned a show. I didn't work for the hotels.
That's nice.
I had to do all of the marketing, all of the advertising, because, you know, wanting to be a comedian since 6 years old.
But you were an advertising guy, too, in your background,
weren't
you? You're
really learning something now, isn't
it? I don't do much homework on my guests, but every once in a while.
Stop putting your hands up like an LX.
Sorry. I'm giving hand signals in here.
You're not going to stop because I told you to stop, right? That's just a funny joke.
No, I know. I get it.
So I was in advertising. Everything at New York City Times Square, all of the billboard spectacle. I was vice president. That's how I made it in Las Vegas because I knew how to advertise and put your business in the streets.
Yeah.
And I would go to the people because I'm selling boards anyway with Metro Media and a guy called Douglas Lee. Douglas Lee is the man that invented the smoking, the star at the Times Square that falls down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What do you call that thing? The crystal ball.
The crystal ball, right.
Crystal ball for New Year's. Yeah. He's also invented the billboards with the smoke. We had the coffee and the smoke coming out, you know, invented that. And so I sold all of that stuff and I sold all of the bus advertising in the top 10 markets in America.
That's
New York,
nuts.
Detroit, Cleveland,
hey,
San
you
Francisco.
Know, with Alex in here, he's a salesman. You know, teach him how to sell because the dude needs a little help, George.
He's learning right now because the first thing you do when you address people, he has a smile. And let me tell you something.
He does have a good smile.
When I first started as a little young black man, I sold rags first. I sold the ShamWow before it had a name.
Mm-hmm.
But as selling advertising in New York City, that's a heavy Jewish community job.
Absolutely, right.
And that's who taught me how to sell advertising and rags. I made a lot of money. Like in 1973, I was making like $75,000 a year. But I tell you what
that's pretty good in 1973, right?
It's good right now.
Well, it is good right now.
Yeah, but look at that old man over there. But it's selling.
That's Tony Scott in our other studio.
You know what you do? It is... the smile. When you go in, you can sell anything.
He can smile.
Whatever you do, you're in advertising. You're in business marketing. You're in marketing. People can see your smile over radio. That's what we do.
That's right.
You make people feel good, and that's what life is all about. That's why I encourage everybody to make sure you enjoy your life.
I love this conversation. Alex knows me well enough. Look, and the audience knows I'm kind of a glass half, empty guy.
Uh-huh.
You're the opposite, and I love the energy that you bring because it makes people like me feel better, George.
Well, I want you to feel better. First of all, is I teach the young people to come to my show, and anybody, most important, don't ever forget this. Make sure you enjoy your life. And number two, make sure you travel. Now, here you're going to learn other cultures around the world and learn and know that there's good people everywhere. I learned that when I first went to Germany. I went to Berlin, Germany, when there was a wall.
Yeah,
and
oh,
I
wow.
went to East Berlin.
Yes.
And we went to eat, and it was outside. They let you go for a day or something like that. And the waiter and everybody was just as nice to me as and
yeah.
I learned that, and now I hang out in China. My favorite place in the world right now is Shanghai.
Really?
Chongqing and Shenzhen.
You travel a lot. One of your pieces of advice is, and I love this, is don't wait till you're old to travel, right? Because
you're
then you can't
old,
do the
but
things.
You're 65. That's what they say. When I turn 65, I'm going to retire and travel. But what? You're too old.
Yeah, exactly.
Travel while you're young. Get all of that stuff out of your system. And I'm telling him, he's got a little baby. Alice has a little
Alex
baby.
Alex has a baby on the way.
So he can't travel that
much. Right.
But sometimes you can make enough money to take your baby. Some friends of mine took their kids 4 or 5 years old, just got back from Paris. That's the greatest thing you can do
I love
for
it.
A kid.
I love it. I have two older kids, and I'm trying to get them to travel more. And then I have a little girl, and I'm trying to travel with her. So I think it's important, too. Listen, you are a joy to talk with. I am out
so
of time.
Why are you putting me off?
Well, because I got other things to do, unfortunately. And you
got
to go visit with Tony also.
Some other people, too.
Yeah, you do. But it's a really thrill to meet you. I'm old enough, you know, to remember Sanford and Sons. I watch Sanford and Son. I know who all that is. Yeah. And by the way, you were off by a week. If you were here last weekend, you could have seen your Braves. They were here at Busch Stadium.
I knew this. I didn't have to be here. You guys whooped our butts.
Yeah, well, we took 2 out of 3. We needed to do that.
But you came to Atlanta. We took 2 out of 3.
You guys are good.
So, no, we were good. We were 9 games ahead.
You're fine. You're going to be fine.
Each city has, you know, we were number one for 13 years.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, each city has this. You remember, were you living here back in the day when Bruce Sutter and everybody
oh,
was
yeah.
here?
Oh, yeah. I moved here in 1979.
Bruce
Cardinals
Sutter
won the series in 82.
The Braves, he was, oh, my God. Ella has no idea. And Ozzie Smith is a good. Anybody
Ozzie's
know
awesome.
Ozzie Smith? You tell him
oh,
to
we
come
know
to
Ozzie.
My show. Because he came to the show. There used to be a comedy club at the train station many years ago. But I'll tell you
I'll get him a message, okay? I saw him last week, a couple weeks ago.
Anybody you know in St. Louis, you have him come down to Helium's, put some comedy in your life, because there's nothing better. If you're sick, if you have death in the family, come out and put
come
some
laugh
in your life.
Come and laugh, right? All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, George Wallace. It was awesome to have you in the studio. I really appreciate
you
it.
You throw me off. Yep,
I'm throwing
George
you off.
Wallace.
Get out of here.
97.1, I'm George Wallace. I love Mark, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
Thank you, George.
Bye-bye.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left until we wrap this hour and get you up to the top of the hour on Fox News. Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus from the University of Chicago, is going to visit with us after 5 o'clock. Now, the president's giving a speech to the nation tonight, and you know we don't know a whole lot about it. It seems like it's going to be on election integrity. Carolyn Leavitt did the briefing today at the White House for the first time in a while because she was out on maternity leave. Here's what she said about the speech.
I would encourage everyone to tune in tonight. I've seen a lot of reporting and frankly misreporting about what the president will say. I think the American people will be relieved to hear what they are hearing from the president of the United States and his commitment to transparency and the focus on the integrity of our elections tonight. I think all Republicans and Democrats should recognize this should be a nonpartisan issue. If we don't have safe and secure elections in our country, we cannot have a country. It is a vital part of our democracy, of our constitutional republic. The president will be speaking about that tonight.
There's been some reporting about what the specifics will be. I'm not really spreading that because they're rumor right now, and they didn't offer anything more specific at the briefing. We will air that speech tonight, 8 o'clock on 97.1 FM Talk. What's interesting is we're finding out this afternoon that ABC and NBC will not air the speech. We don't have actual confirmation that CBS will. They have not said that they won't. And I would assume that CNN and Fox would cover it. But how about that? Two major networks, but, you know, who watches them anymore anyway, refusing to carry the president's speech tonight. I'm going to hold out hopes that maybe there's some substance here. I don't know what exactly he's going to point to, but we'll air it here live, 8 o'clock, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.